and welcome back to not the finale.
Gotta keep going.
There's more episodes to come. If you are listening, keep watching the season. The content is not over yet.
Well, this episode goes very far. Most of this episode is the next round.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Well, no, I know. But just in case.
All right.
Maybe they watched the first 10 minutes and then they went to the layover. Could happen.
Sure.
Then we need to do our 1 minute of obligatory congratulations and praise, unfortunately.
1 minute? Ooh, one whole minute?
Oh my God.
Collectively, we can trade.
Crazy.
Thank you.
All right.
All right. That was good. You did good. Yes, you did the thing that's unprecedented. I'm proud of you. Ben, you got to contribute.
Okay. I'll say two things. One, I will say probably should not have come as a surprise that this happened. Honestly.
Yeah.
I do. As soon as we started teasing this season, this is what people were predicting was going to happen. So
maybe our mistake for agreeing to this team configuration.
Look, I still think it was funny.
It was funny. I would have liked to see more struggle, more, you know, overthinking, more failure. But yes.
I would say that one concern that I have is that people will feel we did not struggle enough. We just sort of freaked it. From start to finish of our run.
Yeah.
And to that I say, have us back.
Yeah.
Have us back.
Okay. Well, as of now, Michelle, as of the moment of this episode, you are now tied as the winningest jet lag player of all time.
Well, something else I'd like to say about Michelle, perhaps more notably, Michelle is now the only undefeated player in jet lag history.
Yes.
Yes.
Because technically, at this point, Toby has been defeated from spot number one.
Toby has now lost the season.
Well, I guess she's now lost. Has she lost?
She has not won the season.
Well, she hasn't won, but has she lost?
Yes.
Is third place the only place that loses?
Yes, she's been defeated.
I suppose.
Best case, Toby gets second, meaning she has been defeated by us.
Clearly she can't win, but do you lose before the end of the season? I'm just being annoying.
At this point, yes, she has lost first place. She has been defeated by someone, right? Here's what I would say, Sam.
Okay.
In a tournament, in a bracket tournament, right, if you lose in the semifinals and then you're now playing the consolation round for the bronze medal, you've been defeated. You lost the previous round.
I suppose, yeah.
Right? You are no longer undefeated.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm bringing up as a point of conversation because I guess that would now mean that Michelle actually not only is tied for the most number of guest wins, but now has usurped Toby to have the highest winning percentage.
It's true, 100%. She is a 100%
winner. 100% winning percentage. And of course, you have to take, well, actually, you don't even have to qualify that because Brian
lost
one season.
Battle for America.
Yeah. So actually, highest winning percentage overall. Of any jet lag guest.
It's clean. It's clear cut.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's the only undefeated jet lag champion.
And actually of anyone ever.
How does it feel, Michelle?
It feels great. I mean, I'll take this moment to announce my retirement. I take back what I said earlier. Now I can't risk it.
Good.
That's genuinely what Toby said with coming back. Every time we've asked Toby back, she's like, I don't know if I want to sacrifice.
Yeah, her. Right. Yeah, it was very fun. I very much enjoyed playing with Adam. It was everything I hoped and more. And yes, I do agree that I think there will be many discussions. I'm not even going to open the Reddit because I'm scared to, of the qualifications to win a season. And did this fulfill them? I don't know. But.
Yes, you did not cheat.
I mean, you did win.
I mean, we won in commanding fashion.
We won. Say, pretty cleanly.
We won, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think people could be like, well, was it hard enough, you know?
Well, I'd like to make the argument that we earned it, but I'll make that argument in a minute.
I just had one other stats thing that I want to work out.
Oh, great.
Which is, what is the delta in winning percentage between male and female guests of jet lag? It's not great for the guys.
It's big.
Okay, I would have to do that math. Are we weighting every man equally? Like, does my win percentage get weighted the same as, like, Scotty's?
No, guests. I think guests.
Oh, guests.
I think looking at guests. Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
We have a whole bunch of loser dudes on our roster.
Well, in terms of guests, we've only had one male guest ever win. Brian won once, but he's now lost twice. So that is a 0.33% winning record.
Well, you can just work it out off of total opportunities versus total wins.
Scotty, zero.
Yeah.
Tom, zero. Joseph, zero. And then we've got Michelle, 100%. Toby, 66%. So if we add that all up, I guess, yeah, we should just do it from season. So the women of Jet Lag have won the seasons they've competed, and they've won 5 out of 6. And the men of Jet Lag, the men who are guests, have won, what would that number be? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Oh, yeah, it's nice and clean, actually. It's 1 out of 6. So
it's pretty big.
That's a pretty big delta.
Look at that gender balance. That's interesting.
That's good. Yeah. Hey, we did it.
We're so woke.
Oh, wait. No, no, no. Sorry. 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 We aren't woke. Women are 4 for 5. Sorry. 4 for 5 because Toby 3 times, Michelle twice. So the women guests of Jet Lag have won 4 of their 5 appearances.
80%.
Men of Jet Lag have won 1 of 6 of their appearances. Oh, are we counting Amy? Does Amy count? 4 out of 5.5.
Sure.
4 out of 5.5. Let's say 4 out of 5.5. I will say, though, if you exclude NYC Hide and Seek, which is not an official season of Jet Lag the Game, it's a mini game. There's never been a season of Jet Lag where a woman has been on and a woman has not won, right? Toby has only lost. The only time a woman lost Jet Lag was to a woman.
To a woman.
If you don't count NYC Hide and Seek. So
yeah.
Is this woke? Are we being woke? Or I feel like we're being weird. I feel like we're talking about it weird.
We still have not accomplished our goal of defeating a woman in total.
That's true. That's true.
Because a woman was ultimately defeated by another woman.
Our goal of defeating a woman.
That's our goal now. That's been our goal for years now.
Yeah. Look, if you're a really incompetent woman, please let us know. We need you.
Yeah, we need a loser. We need a stupid, slow woman to come on our show so that we can win. Please. No.
Okay. Well, folks, we've been canceled. I just got word.
Yep.
It was after what Ben said, they canceled us now. And so it's all over.
The network pulled our slot.
No, I didn't say any women are stupid or so. I'm just saying we need to
find
someone.
It's been difficult for us to find someone.
Because all women are fast and smart and beautiful.
Yep. Good.
This is my belief.
Yes.
Yep. That's woke, I think.
Okay. You totally saved us there, Ben.
Look, they won, okay? Adam and Michelle won. I think it was good. I think it's good. 4 tags in, we've proven that it is possible to do this.
Yes.
To get to the end.
I am genuinely glad about that.
Everybody has said, oh, we want someone to reach their end location. Well, here you go.
It's happened.
And it's the most beautiful one of all.
Oh, I know. So
yes.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God. It was so much fun. It was so much fun going there.
And we ate in that restaurant at the top of the observatory, which, in my opinion, was quite good.
Mm-hmm. You guys got like a cheese flight or something. You got way too much cheese.
We did.
Yeah.
We got way too much cheese. It was awesome.
And then Michelle immediately fell asleep.
Yep.
Yes. I did fall asleep because we were waiting for Sam and Toby to arrive because they were Deutschland.
It was a really long time. Well, in this case, we were actually SNCF'd, interestingly. But Deutschland is sort of, it's kind of like Kleenex, I feel like.
It's a catch-all term. It's a catch-all.
Yeah, it's like, even if it's not Deutschland, you're still Deutschland. But yeah, I was very glad to go to Zermatt, even if it was only briefly, because Zermatt is one of the nicest places on Earth.
Extraordinarily beautiful. Yeah,
so
crazy.
So pretty.
And I'm glad y'all got to see it. I feel like I've been hyping it up for literal years now.
It's true. No, it was awesome.
You got to see the hype.
It was pretty awesome.
I'm also extremely excited to announce that I have a ski trip planned to Zermatt this winter.
Wow.
Which is really huge for me.
That's big for
and
you.
And it'll be nice to go there for more than like 3 hours.
Yeah.
Can we warn people that it's crazy expensive to take that cog railway up there?
Ridiculous. Oh, yeah. It's crazy.
There was like a glitch when we went to get our tickets. I was like, what are you talking about?
Could not believe the prices when I saw it.
Yeah.
If I had known that, I don't know if we would have chosen that as the end location.
Because we had to pay for 6 people to go up and down.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, it was like over 1,000 francs, I think.
Yeah, no, it's insane.
Total. Yeah, well, because they also charge you to go back down. Like, you have to pay for both ways.
You have to buy round trip.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Well, that was crazy to me, too, is I was like, You buying a one-way ticket? How am I getting down?
Who's going up there and staying
hikers?
There?
Hikers.
I guess you could walk down. I guess you can hike.
Some people hike.
You can hike it.
Hike.
Some people paraglide down. We saw people paragliding.
We did.
Yeah. There are also like hotels along the way. One time when I was in Vermont, I had a beautiful time on this railway going to one of these hotels like for dinner. And like you take the train up part of the way. And I did not remember it being as expensive then. Maybe it's a lot less to not go to Gornergrat. And I like walked through like a snowy path through the woods the most. It was literally where, now I forget what movie was filmed there. A very famous movie was filmed. Anyway, Zermatt's goaded is my point. Also, look, you've already subscribed to Nebula, so you've helped offset the cost of this. But if you enjoyed the train, please just send us money because it was expensive.
I thought it was crazy to find out post-mortem how close Ben and Brian were to us at all times.
That was kooky.
Yeah.
Totally.
Because we knew they were on our trail, but I don't think we knew how close they were, which is exciting to see play out in the edited form of the episode.
I have a good gripe for this episode.
Go for it. Give us a gripe.
Still on the train cost episode. I mean, train cost is one gripe, but my next gripe is related to train cost, which I don't even know if I've griped about yet, but one unnamed team, let's say, in this game, bought one-way tickets for some reason up to Gornergrat Observatory, and then therefore had to buy tickets down on their return that they were very stressed to, and in their haste bought the wrong tickets, and therefore spent...
Okay. We did this on purpose because we thought we had to.
Well, I'm not talking about the fact that you did one-ways.
Oh, yes. No, we did definitely buy the wrong tickets back down. That we can be blamed for.
And you had 4 hours.
In your haste to go down, you bought tickets like part of the way down. And in your haste, I just gave you our tickets because I was like, look, we're waiting around. You just take our tickets. Get out of here. But then we had these wrong tickets and there was no way to rectify it. So we also spent like 150 to 200 francs on the wrong tickets to go down.
Whoops.
Look, we were trying to be good and not cheat at the game. And I think that that is worth spending 200 francs on. I'll spend 200 francs on that any day.
Of show money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not of my production money.
Yeah. Not of Ben money. Yeah. Okay.
I would definitely not do that.
Sure. Okay. Gripes over for now. I just thought it was funny. Because look, you were being very good about the strictest interpretation of whether or not you could buy that train down. I think it would have been totally fair if you had just bought the tickets in the rest of time.
Yeah, probably would have been fine.
Anyway, okay, we should start walking chronologically-ish. We've kind of jumped around.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think the first big plot point is, do y'all make your connection?
Yes. Well, and I think that this is another thing. I mean, one thing I think about this season is like, again, I think that, you know, Michelle and I are alluding to, like, I think in some ways it looks like, oh my gosh, it was easy for them. They just like, whatever. But it's like so much had to go right. Like, if we had gotten in 5 minutes later, we wouldn't have made that connection. Like our train was delayed by a few minutes. If it had been delayed a few minutes more, we would not have made that connection and they would have been there by the time the next cog railway up left.
Yeah.
Like,
well, also, I mean, you see near the end of the episode that the Swiss rail network is not 100% reliable. And you guys could have had a train get canceled or delayed the same way, the way up. And that would have been it for you guys.
No, at any time. No, but like we managed to make that cog railway quick. I mean, and you see like, you know, we are able to get a ticket on the ticket machine, right? But like, I don't even know if we would have gotten a ticket in time if we had waited in the line, right? Like Michelle waits in the line and I go to the machine. And I genuinely think that like, if we had imagined that this game was a one-person game as usual, and we'd had to choose between the line and the machine, I guess I would have chosen the machine. But like, if we had just tried to wait in the line, I don't know if we would have made it in time. Like,
Yeah.
It was close. I mean, it was literally, I think, 5 minutes, 4 minutes. Something like that.
And that was after our prior train, as you guys have mentioned, was, you know, delayed.
Yeah.
Scarily.
Yeah. Yep. Worked out well.
I mean, I also like, I mean, in part, you got to give credit to the Swiss train network. The only reason that we knew that it was going to be a different station was because there's a map of it on the tray table on the train.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember
that.
Yeah,
we saw there were two separate dots. Yes.
It's totally possible that you guys could have been wandering around Zermatt being like, where's the observatory? Where's the observatory? And in the 5 minutes that it took you to figure out that it's not actually there.
Totally.
That would also been it.
Well, because like we were speculating about this on our side, because I remembered this just from visiting Zermatt. And I don't think we even knew that you had the phone curse, right?
No, you didn't know.
No.
Like I was speculating it because I think even without that, you know, I think the normal assumption is that in 99% of places, especially places the size of Zermatt, all the trains leave from the same spot.
Totally.
You know, there's not like multiple train stations. And the reason it is here is because like the Cog Railway isn't like a Swiss Railways train, I don't think. I think it's operated by like a different company. So it's not like a national train or whatever. I don't know. So yeah, it's like across the street. I really would have been nice if it was like a couple. I couldn't remember how close it was.
It was close. Yeah, it was really very
It was
close.
Right across the street, unfortunately.
And the signs were well marked. Shout out to Switzerland.
Yeah. And it's even crazier because, like, I think the scenario of people actually making a direct connection from the train to Zermatt to the Gorniograd Observatory train, it's got to be rare. Because, like, that train is, in the winter, it's actually mostly for, like, skiing and, like, hotel access. Whereas in the summer, it's mostly for, like, views and stuff. So probably mostly people, like, staying in Zermatt. So the train network is just so good that they do have those signs making that connection.
And a final thing to point out that really could have gone wrong for us but didn't is that, and this I think is more on me, I had not frankly thought about that we were going to need coins to get up there.
Yeah.
When we had been budgeting initially. Like, it was just lucky that the phone curse gave us enough of a surplus that we had the coins to get up there without having to do another challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Because Michelle, I think that, I mean, I don't know what we would have thought of when, but like we had a number in mind that was the number we needed to get to Zermatt. And I think if we had hit that number, we wouldn't have done another challenge. We would have been like, great, let's go. And I think it only would have been the next day once we were moving that I think we would have been like, oh, wait a minute, we need coins to get up that final little bit. And so like, it was totally just fortunate for us that we had enough of a surplus to make up for it by a margin of what, like 200 coins or something, 250? Like,
yeah, not a lot.
There's every possibility that we would have had to do a challenge in Zermatt.
Right, and then we would have gotten caught by Ben and Brian.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because we would have missed that train in that 5 minutes.
Though I will say, as I mentioned, I was prepared to just hike it.
Yeah.
And hike it in a route that would have avoided the Cog Railway stops so they couldn't get ahead of us. I was ready. I was in that headspace. I was like, we might be hiking for the next 12 hours.
You have to wonder if that's what we would have done. Like, genuinely, like, would we have hiked it? I don't know.
It's a lot of vert.
Surely, though, if you had hiked it, we could have taken the Cog Railway up to the top.
Yeah, you could have taken the train.
I guess you would have been waiting for us at the start, at the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although, maybe at that point, it would have been a literal game of tag where it's like, could you guys run around us and touch the observatory?
No, it literally might have been.
Yes, that is my point. Yes. We would have hiked for 12 hours away from the railway, descended from above the observatory to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty sure the observatory is about as up as you can. Anyway, what I think you actually might have been able to do, had it really come to it, is I believe some of the gondolas do operate in the summer for sightseeing. Because,
mm-hmm.
like, they operate, like, glacier skiing.
It's interesting.
Up there, I think, year-round. So, like, you might have been able to find, like, a string of gondolas that could get you, like, most of the way there and then hoofed it on foot or something.
So are gondolas fair game?
Oh, actually, that's true. I don't think they
are.
That's
interesting. Yeah, I don't think they're in the shop. Would it have counted as local transit?
I actually remember sometime that day, Adam texts us and he's like, are gondolas fair game?
Right, no, that's true. I did text you guys that because I didn't know what the system was and I couldn't look it up. But I didn't want it to be a rules violation,
mm-hmm.
right, if we took a gondola. And so I wanted to get your take on it. And then it turned out gondola was irrelevant because there was a Cog Railway. But I was trying to get...
Yeah. Which, to be clear, is fair under the phone use curse. Like, production chat is fine.
Yeah, yeah. That's a production.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, yeah.
It's only navigation. Okay, so what I want to do before we pivot to the next run is... We sort of talked a lot about this last episode without necessarily implying it that directly because we had cut out a lot less episode of the layover to, there were a couple of cuts where I was like, I think you said that thing too enthusiastically.
Yeah.
For example, We really tried to not spoil this episode, but we now know just how narrow the win was.
Yes.
Literally one train frequency was the difference. One train frequency's worth of time would have led to a catch of the final train to Zermatt.
I mean, a difference of like 5 minutes.
Truly, yeah, truly 5 minutes.
A difference of 5 minutes on that transfer, that's a catch.
Yeah, but in terms of the difference between the two teams, I think it was a little bit more than that. But
by the end.
No, they were more than 5 minutes behind us, but I'm saying Michelle and I had 5 minutes to make our transfer. If we had not made that 5 minute transfer, that's it.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But thinking about it more holistically,
yes,
like the difference that would have led to the teams catching up was one train frequency.
Correct.
So basically, Adam and Michelle, you just needed to get delayed anywhere along the route by whatever would lead you to missing one train frequency to not make it. So it is worth, I think, thinking back about just how early the chain of events started that led to this win. And my take is that the chain of events started at 3 hours into the game. I don't think this win would have happened unless Toby and I pulled the curse that sent us the other direction.
Because you guys would have, well, I would say it even goes early. I mean, if you want to really, like, goes earlier than that. It goes to the fact that you guys had to go to Leon at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. True.
Because Michelle and I were starting at the center of the map. Sam and Toby had made no progress towards their end location when we caught them because of having to go to Leon and then that curse, right? So like in a normal chain of events, if you assume what we thought was going to happen, it happened, you guys would have at least been in Paris at a minimum, and we would have had to pay for the transit from Paris to Champagne-Ardenne on a high-speed train. That's a lot of coins, right?
Yeah.
Like it even goes back to the fact that like you guys getting mucked up there meant that Michelle and I end up in a really fortunate starting spot.
Yeah. Well, here, I want to talk about regrets because my biggest regret was leaving Leon. I don't know that we should have left Leon. The reason why I honestly was not even thinking about how well it set y'all up, because normally it's like, okay, what is 25 miles difference going to mean? Because in every other season we've ever done, barring one close call, we've never even gotten close to the end locations. So it's like, you know, giving them 25 miles more in the right direction on day one, what is that going to do, right?
Right.
I mean, this shows what it's going to do. But I think that was why, at least me personally, I don't know about Toby, but like that wasn't even really a consideration in the decision of whether or not to leave Leon. So like at the time, it was just like, yeah, might as well.
Right.
You know, we didn't even put much weight into the decision.
Yeah, clear the curse. Yeah.
It's like, we got a train. We have no idea where they are. We don't think this is going to be our winning run. Might as well just take this train.
Well, I think that the most interesting place, actually, in my opinion, the most interesting place to trace back Michelle's and my win to, which is an extremely, extremely straight line, is the coin flip to decide who would go up to Leon and who would stay back in Paris.
Mm.
Yeah.
A literal coin flip.
Very true.
If we had won that coin flip, we would have gone up to Leon.
Yeah.
You guys would have stayed back. You probably would have made the catch. And you would have had a much more difficult route up to Borkum.
Yeah. I don't think that run would have gone very long, honestly.
And y'all wanted to go to Leon, right?
Well, we did. Although I do want to claim a bit of credit, if I could, that I was the one who was insistent that somebody needed to stay back, right?
Well, definitely agree with that, yeah.
The only reason that you guys got caught where you did was that I insisted that somebody needed to stay back because there was the possibility that going to Leon was going to strand somebody. And I mean, we only show some of this, like, I argued quite a lot with Ben that somebody needed to go back. This is actually cut out. I think we can reveal this. The thing that got Ben and Brian to agree that they would flip a coin was we were able to convince them that if we both went up, Michelle and I would make the catch on the basis that we could run faster than they could.
That is true. Well, look, you were 100% right we all knew that that is true, that it would not have advantaged us for us to both be on the train to Leon. But this is why you have to play hardball a little bit. And it was only at the point where it was clear that you were also going to play hardball and not budge that we had to do the coin flip.
Exactly. Right.
Because I wanted to convince you that I was willing to just stay on and that I was being crazy. You have to get off the train because I'm being crazy. Because otherwise we're both going to be on the train to Leon. This is how you have to do it.
Michelle. Didn't you do a video that was like hostage negotiation
or whatever, right?
Right.
Yeah, we've done an episode learning how to negotiate hostages.
So you've like learned some of the theory of negotiation.
Yes.
And what does the theory of negotiation talk about playing hardball and all that?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, what's going to work is going to work. But something that I learned is reflecting emotions back to a person to ensure that they understand that you see their perspective too. Oh, I can see, Ben, that this decision is frustrating for you. I agree, you know? And even just like saying things like that can help it come to a more even playing field. Now, when I realized what was going on, my strategy was, I'm actually going to fade slightly in the background with Brian here and maintain goodwill on my part with Ben in case I needed to utilize that in the future, because I could see it falling apart between Ben and Adam.
Sort of a good cop, bad cop situation. You allowed me to play bad cop.
A little bit, yeah. And ultimately, I think like once the hardballing started, I realized, you know what, it is okay for us to be in Paris at this hub where we have more options. So that was my thoughts on the whole thing. That to me, it was more important to maintain the positive inter-team dynamic in some capacity than to ram it into the ground fighting to go to Leon.
Yeah. I bring it up because it reminds me of probably the best college course I ever took, which was a negotiations course. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome because basically every week we would come and it was like a 3 or 4 hour thing. And we would get put into a mock negotiation scenario.
Whoa.
With a competitor. And it was like this somewhat complicated system to get the incentives right. And basically, after the end of 3 or so hours, we would either have come to a mutual agreement about basically the numbers. You know, usually it was kind of framed in like a business negotiation about a deal, and one person wants it to go up, the other person wants it to go down. And you either have to reach a middle ground or you don't make a deal. And your entire grade for the course was based on how much money essentially you accumulated through the mock negotiations, or
wow,
maybe not exactly money. It was like points correlated to how much you negotiated onto your side. But of course, the biggest loss you could make was not coming to an agreement. And so it was a very interesting scenario that sort of demonstrated some of the potential downsides of playing the really hardline position.
Look, you may have gone to a fancy college or something.
You can't say
but
that.
But here's
Ben.
How you do
yeah,
it for real.
Yeah, so did you, Ben.
Yeah, you can't say that, Mr. Brown Ivy League.
Here's how you do it for real. You have to convince someone that you are a crazy person and that they can't negotiate with you.
You are unfortunately kind of right, yeah.
Because then you can get whatever you want by being really annoying. This is what I learned at college.
And you did. You got what you wanted, and you went to Leon and got stranded there.
It's true, and then we did get stranded. We got to go to a movie, though.
Yeah.
I don't think we even talked about
that.
Have
we revealed that it was Lilo and Stitch?
Lilo and Stitch.
It was Lilo and Stitch. We went to go see Lilo and Stitch in French.
So, okay. Runner-up round. Not a scenario that we've had before, and maybe worth noting that, like, it always would be a slightly subjective decision whether or not we would do a runner-up round.
Yeah.
You know, like, clearly we would not do this if it was, like, 4 p.m. on day 3.
Yeah. I mean, I do think it's really worth emphasizing, like, we were only about halfway through our game hours, almost exactly halfway, like, very close to it.
Almost exactly.
Yeah.
Like, we still had basically an equivalent amount of time to the time that had passed.
Mm-hmm.
We still had scheduled to be available to play.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, quickly powering through the slight game design tweaks. So, you know, we decided that it was, you know, kind of most entertaining for Michelle and Adam to be, you know, or, well, you know, the people who would win in this scenario to be active participants
yeah.
in a third round. Because, like, we didn't want them to just, like, disappear. And we thought it'd be weird if they were just, like, there but not participating. Mm-hmm. So we thought it'd be most fun to have, like, a little bit of a draft. I do want to say, for some reason, I had, like, a really weird way of saying that we wanted Michelle on camera.
I guess we'll take Michelle, end quote.
Sucks for you.
There was something that, like, distracted me at the moment or something. I don't really know why I said it that way.
I remember why. My recollection is that the reason why is that you were sort of, like, messing around about, like, stalling.
Oh, that is true.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you assumed that we had all bought round trip tickets and that it would then be mm-hmm. no problem for us to get on the train that you knew we wanted to take.
Right.
You knew we were going to want to get on the train you had taken up there. You knew we were going to want to start the round immediately, mm-hmm. get on that train and get going. Because if we missed that train, we were going to have to wait whatever it was, a half hour for the next train. And then you would only be like 15 minutes behind us.
Yeah.
But you were sort of like joking around and being like, oh, I guess we should start. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. No, it was like, yeah, I think that's right. And the delivery was just off.
Yeah.
We were talking actually in the hours leading up to this. And we actively decided, yes, we wanted Michelle. And of course, we would want the winningest jet lag player of all time. Like, that's obvious. It's just statistics.
Yeah.
So yeah, I want to apologize for my weird delivery in the moment.
It's okay. I was excited to be with the blondes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Joining the blondes. Well, also, people have wished for Team Toby and Michelle very much for a very long time.
That was part of our thinking, too, was we kind of thought there'd be a riot if we didn't make that happen.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, was Ben and Brian get to go next because they got to us first, right? So it is still the same logic of a tag, right? It's like they made it to Zermatt first.
Yeah.
And so functionally, it's like they tagged us in the logic of the game. And because they get to go next, you guys get first pick in the draft. That's the trade-off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the other quick, which I imagine we'll say in the VO somewhere, we're sort of recording this pretty in advance. But, you know, the other rule set is that we remove
the cloak and the freeze.
Yes, because those were effectively designed to nerf the
fact that there were two teams.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They would have been totally overpowered.
It's way overpowered for there to be one team and you get a free freeze. And it's way overpowered for them.
Yeah.
Right. But the double up is like, that's a pretty normal mm-hmm. power up that we have had in the past. And so it felt reasonable to give us that one.
Yeah. So really the first annoying thing that happens on our end.
Oh, wait. Sorry, no. The last thing we need to explain. Sorry. Mm-hmm. We need to explain the neutral zone.
Oh, yeah.
The decision to make that area neutral as opposed to, because the original, I mean, when we were first talking about what we would do for a round like this, the intuitive thing is we say, okay, well, we split it. We just take the area and just say, okay, whichever side someone's closest to, right? Just make it halves. Now it just becomes half of a map is one win area and half of a map is the other win area. And the reason that we decided not to do this, and this is sort of like ticky-tacky, but I think it actually is important, is it makes the directionality of movement for the next team really weird and unpredictable in terms of their incentives. Because what you see from us, which is the type of stuff we want in tag, is we need to get somewhere. Right? We need to get our asses into our win area. We need to move. And so you guys are able to predict that movement in the same way you're often able to predict tag movement. Like a lot of the way tag is designed is to create at least semi-predictable movement to allow you to catch up to people. If the map got halved, then, you know, one step over the line and we're in our region. So what we would do is basically immediately go rat mode, right? Like that's our incentive. Go through Zurich, just maybe go in circles around the edge of the map in like southeastern Switzerland, just like try to make weird, unpredictable little moves just nonstop, right? And just confuse you guys. And we were like, that's going to lead to really weird gameplay. So we were like, no, we need to make this area neutral because we need to say that we need to get somewhere. We need to give us a direction that is somewhat predictable that we need to go. And so that is the reason. I'm gesturing a lot with my hands in the podcast, but I think that makes sense, even in audio.
I think so.
Just imagine a pizza with only two slices.
Yeah.
Wouldn't be very good. So yeah, the first kind of stroke of unfortunate luck on our end is that the train frequencies work out really well for y'all and really not as well for us.
Yeah, tough stuff.
Yeah.
Not the biggest deal in the world, but, you know, we just immediately lose 30 minutes of, you know, we start an hour behind and then we immediately get 90 minutes behind, I believe, just because y'all had an immediate connection in VISP. We had like a 30-minute connection in VISP.
Yeah. And we had no idea about that. Like, I think we didn't even realize that until pretty late in the day. I think we actually maybe never even realized it.
Yeah, we hadn't even really thought about that.
I think we did. I think eventually we determined.
So from y'all's perspective, were we like right behind y'all at all times?
From our perspective, you were like 45 minutes behind us at all times, not an hour and a half.
Yeah, we thought you were a normal amount behind us.
Well, because for the rest of this episode, you never, I believe, miss a train frequency. Is that right?
Well, we do in Bern.
Oh.
I mean, that's the whole thing that happens.
It's the end of the episode, yeah.
Oh, right.
Before then, no.
Yeah. So, as always, that's really what it's about. It's like, how many train frequencies do you skip?
Yeah.
Because, you know, the Chaser team, they can only go as fast as the fastest route, and the fastest route is always the quickest connection, but sometimes the quickest connection is like 45 minutes.
Totally.
Yeah. And that's great for challenge time. Okay, so y'all, I believe the first place you step off the train.
We do the Amy's challenge.
Amy's mystery
item. Oh, right.
That one was interesting. Good job, Amy.
Yeah, good job to Amy on that one. Well, this is fun. There's an edit joke in there that Sam, actually, you were the one that noticed, that there's a shot where we are leaving a space and there are lampshades right behind me.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't notice them at all.
Right.
Which is funny.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Yeah. Because I was doing some research while reviewing the cuts of like, what is a lampshade?
Right.
Because I feel like what people think of as a lampshade is like a very traditional bedside lamp with like a fabric shade.
Right.
But I looked at definitions. Definitions are something along the lines of like anything that sort of obscures the light coming out of a natural or artificial source. So, you know, your stuff, I mean, definitely counted, even if it wasn't a fabric type.
Yes. A lampshade is a fixture that envelops the light bulb to redirect the light it emits.
Indeed.
Which yours definitely
did.
Yes.
Oh my God. Not Merriam-Webster coming out for the lampshade.
Yeah, we're defining lampshade on the podcast.
It matters. Is this good content?
Matters.
Is this a good podcast?
It's the good content that people come here for. Okay. No. Okay. So we go to Bern. We do the buried treasure thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of a fun little challenge. I like that challenge.
Quick. Nice and quick.
Brian digs that hole real fast.
Yeah, Brian's digging.
He looked like a little chinchilla.
Yeah, Brian was locked in.
Brian is locked in. He's like got all this. I think Brian, for years now, has had a pent up like amount of energy of like, if I go back to do jet lag, I'm going to really crush it. And then he just kept getting, I mean, you can see it and he talks about it in the episode and in later episodes. Like, I think in the early episodes, he felt just so like hamstrung by the situation and the weirdness of everything that was going on.
Yeah.
And so I think once he's finally the runner, he's like, let's go, let's move. Like, we are going to
like,
get after this. I am like completely locked in. Which is great, which is the energy you want from a guest.
For the whole first 2 days, he kept saying to me, he kept being like, Ben, I just really want to do challenges. And I was like, okay, I don't, but sure. We'll do challenges.
You notice how with Brian, almost every time, it's all about beating Sam. It's not about beating Sam and Toby or Sam and Toby and Michelle.
It's a fraternal rivalry.
They go back so long, you know what I mean? Like, they've been friends for so many years.
Brian, at least in the game, I feel like he had such a one-sided beef with me.
It might be a one-sided fraternal rivalry. Mm. But I still think that he has a way of pushing your buttons.
That is true.
That no one else I've ever met can. He knows what to do.
Well, that's a good cliffhanger for next episode
yeah.
with Brian. I just noticed it especially. Actually, I think this might be even more present as I spoiler in the future ones where it's all about beating Sam.
Yeah.
Which I fully support. I think that's great.
And I can't wait for next week's episode of the Layover podcast where I get to hear you guys work it out. Hash it out.
Okay.
It's going to be beautiful.
Wow.
It's going to be so
that's
beautiful.
It's going to be good. Yeah. I mean, the thing that we're glossing over here is, you know, all of our route finding in Bern, which I think maybe we'll mostly talk about that next week with Brian.
That was
But I just will say quickly for now, That was some peak jet lag stuff. And I just want to, in this moment, give Brian a lot of credit that he was the one who found our escape route after a lot of looking and a lot of seeing things that didn't work. And so he was locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of fun. Just that moment of like, we're looking at the departure board. We're looking at the map. We're trying to figure out like an alternate plan. A lot of stuff doesn't work. We find something that does. I was like, this is jet lag, baby. I was like, this is some classic jet lag.
Yeah. Well, again, kind of as a slight teaser, slight spoiler, I think there's a really interesting mix over the next couple of episodes of classic jet lag, like those moments of, you know, needing to really, really quickly make a quick call for the right route, right train, whatever, mixed with some stuff that we've still, I feel like we've mentioned a lot early that like this season has a lot of stuff that you've never seen.
There are things that you've never seen before, still to come.
You might think that that's only referring to Zermatt, but no, there's a lot to come.
Yes.
There's very much a lot to come.
I mean, all I'll say is I think that the back half of the season, I think that the bonus round is some of the most exciting tag gameplay we've seen.
It's good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. I want to hear what Michelle thought of Switzerland before we go. Because you had been to Switzerland once before, am I right, to do your Butler school?
Butler?
What was the Butler Academy?
Butler Academy is not in Switzerland, but I did vacation in Switzerland after we wrapped filming, which was amazing. Mm. Yes, the second visit to Switzerland was incredible. As depicted in the prior episode, I did cry on the way up because I was so moved by how beautiful it was. It is crazy how you just cross the border into Switzerland and it's like the saturation on all the colors goes up by 50%.
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing there? It's crazy.
I felt like my appreciation for Switzerland went up so much by waking up at Charles de Gaulle Airport and then by like 6 hours later, seven, maybe eight, being on the top of a gorgeous mountain in the middle of the Alps in Zermatt.
Yeah.
Like the contrast was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Switzerland's awesome.
Yes. Switzerland, it was amazing. And obviously, when we chose our region at the beginning of the game, I was like, yeah, consciously, yeah, Switzerland is our objective. Gernigrat Observatory is our objective. But I didn't actually critically think beyond the point of like, oh, when we actually head there, we get to see it and be in it. And oh, and we might actually go to the observatory and see these things. I was not thinking that far ahead because I was so focused on being in the moment. And it was just very, very pleasant to be there. And I mean, I'll be honest, it didn't really hit me. Oh, we're seeing the Matterhorn until we're on the cog rail. It's like, oh, there's the Matterhorn. That's crazy.
It's so pointy.
Yes, I saw it on the map ahead of everything and knew our objective. But because nobody has ever made it to their endpoint, I never thought we would actually see it. So I loved it.
You just needed the motivation of getting to see the Matterhorn to bring you there.
It inspired something within me, that's for sure.
All right. Well, some exciting episodes to come. Will, Ben, and Adam, and well, team...
But Brian. Ben.
Team Brian.
Ben Jordan.
I thought you had figured one out by after the season.
No, team, I don't think it ever.
It's too hard. It's team, impossible.
But I think if you go like team Byam.
Brendam.
Byam.
Yeah, Brendam. I was about to say, I think it's Brendam.
Brendam? Okay. Will team Brendam make it out of Switzerland alive? Or will team...
Do it live. Figure it out. You can do it.
So be shall.
So shall.
Ooh, that's pretty good. So shall, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, team so shall bring us back to France.
It's crazy that in So Shall, Sam and Toby each get one letter. Toby only gets one vowel. She gets the vowel O.
Well, Michelle's a big presence.
But it's the, like, stressed vowel.
Yeah. Anyway, that's next time, I guess. And the ones after that, maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
I think it's So Shall.
No.
Not So Shall, So Shall.
I don't like that as much.
It sounds worse, though.
Yeah, no, I think So Shall.
Okay, well, bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.